class after learning in detail about training and development and what are the various management development methods and programs that we make for the employees of the hospital, and also we have learned about the importance of counseling in hospital employees. Let's understand one more function of HRM, which is very pivotal and very, very important for HR managers, and that is wage and salary administration. Its importance can be delineated by the fact that most of the problems and the disputes that occur between the union and the management are related to the wage and salary administration, and hence one can understand that it's a very important topic to be learned. Similarly, what we learn in Hierarchy of Needs by Abraham Maslow, in the basic physiological need at the bottom of the pyramid that we learned was regarding food, shelter and clothing. Well, how this is available? A person, an employee, is going to get food, shelter and clothing basically by getting the right kind of wage and salary and perks. So this also gives an importance to the wage and salary administration. So basically, if we see fair and equitable compensation for each hospital employee should be the objective of wage and salary administration program of all HR managers of the various hospitals. So hospital authorities, particularly those of charitable hospitals who were paying comparatively less payment to their employees over a period of time, have found that there was a lot of employee turnover in their hospitals, and since they were not matching the salaries of these employees with the people outside in other industries or in corporate hospitals and other private hospitals, usually there was a lot of brain drain and lot of turnover of these employees, and it was difficult for them to retain the talented employees for their hospitals, and hence they have also now understood and realized that wage and salary administration is a very, very important aspect they have to look into, and they have to revise their salaries based on the market survey they should do, and accordingly they have to go on increasing the salaries periodically, otherwise it will be difficult for them to manage the show. Let's understand what basically we mean by wage and salary. It is nothing but all the forms of financial returns, tangible services and benefits that the employees are going to receive as part of their employment relationship. So let's understand what are the learning objectives for this topic. First and foremost, we should learn about nature and importance of compensation in HR department. We should also learn about various components of compensation. For example, say basic dearness allowance, which is based on cost price index, then city compensatory allowance based on in which city that hospital is located, because in metropolitan cities naturally the inflation rate is quite high, and hence you have to pay little extra to these employees, otherwise it will be difficult for them to manage their lifestyle and take care of their family members. And then there are bonus and various other components of fringe benefits, etc., of the compensation. So let's understand also what is the difference between wage and salary, how the compensation for the hospital employees should be determined, and an important statutory act known as Payment of Wages Act 1936, which is applicable to even hospitals, and of course it is applicable to all the factories and other shops and establishments, etc., that also has to be followed. So we are going to learn in detail about that act also. So what is the role of HR manager in compensation? Well, as we saw, wage and salary administration is a pivotal function of HR, and fair and equitable compensation is required to be given to all the employees, and one has to compensate the labor for whatever work is being done by this labor through proper wages. Now, money paid periodically to persons whose output cannot be easily measured, such as clerical, supervisory, managerial staff, will be termed as salary, which is usually given once a month, while money paid to those workers which are unskilled or semi-skilled workers, where you can measure the piece work, where you can measure the hourly work, and hence you can give them hourly pay or weekly pay to them after calculation of how many numbers that person is working, and that is considered as wage. So let's understand, in an organization, the objectives for compensation program should be to attract and keep the desired quality and mix of employees. The desired quality, that means the competency of our employees in the hospital, whether he is a super specialist doctor or a generalized doctor or a nurse or a superintendent nurse or matron, you can say, or it can be staff nurse, or whether it's a chief of the laboratory or chief pathologist or chief pharmacy department, and the subordinates and technicians, etc. So based on the competencies of them, you will have to give them the salary, then only they are going to be attracted to apply for the jobs in your hospital. So one should have a mix of various types of employees in a hospital, right from class 4 to the class 1, and all of them should be of the right quality and the right quantity also, the right number also you want to get. So to motivate employees to continually improve their performance and to strive to achieve the organization's or the hospital strategic business objectives that have been kept. So this is one more objective of the right kind of salary administration program. One should reinforce the key values and the desired organizational culture which is there, and one should drive and reinforce the desired employee behavior with the help of giving them the right kind of perks, right kind of compensation, so that they are motivated to work for your organization for a longer time and there is not much of employee turnover occurring in your hospital. It should ensure that the compensation is maintained at the desired competitive level. That means what is the compensation given to employees with a similar kind of work they are doing in other hospitals has to be matched, then only they will be remaining with you. Similarly, even a similar kind of the requirement which is required for a person to perform the job, even in other industries, has to be compared, and accordingly they should be given the compensation. One has to ensure that optimum value for each salary rupee spent one should have. So whatever is compensation which is deserved by the employee should be given. At the same time, one should get the optimum work out of your employees so that the hospital is also benefiting and the patients are satisfied. One should comply with all the legal requirements. Maybe it is Equal Remuneration Act, the Payment of Bonus Act, the Gratuity Act, etc. One should give the employees equitable treatment. That means based on the merit, qualification, experience, etc., one has to give them the equitable treatment. Then only they are going to be with you. Otherwise, as we have already learned during our organizational behavior also, that as per the Adam's theory of equity, unless you are giving equitable treatment in the payment given to your employees, it will be difficult for you to retain them, because they are going to compare their salary with other employees within the organization as well as outside the organization. Accurately measure and appropriately reward the employees' performance and contribution towards achievement of the hospital's strategic objectives. So one has to accurately measure how much work that person is doing, and one has to appropriately reward based on his performance towards the contribution of the organization's goals achievement. One should provide appropriate compensation changes which should be comparable to that prevailing in the community for similar work. That means for a similar kind of work, if they are getting X amount per month in other organizations, more or less similar kind of compensation they should get in your organization also. For example, accountant is there who can get in a financial institute, say bank. Suppose he is getting a salary of a similar kind of work in a bank, say rupees 25,000 per month. Then even in your hospital when he is working, more or less similar kind of work if he is doing, and he is having the same kind of qualifications and experience, etc., then he should be paid around 24,000 to 25,000 per month. One should provide regular compensation, and one should do periodical performance reviews to find out whether he is excelling in his job, and based on his, one should appreciate and give appreciation in form of better rewards and perks also to your employees. Then only they will be attracted to remain with you for a longer time, they will be loyal to your organization, and they will be motivated to work better. So let's understand the importance of wage and salary to employers, to employees, and to patients in the hospital who are taking the services of the hospital. For the employers, for the importance of wage and salary, the employer wants that fair and equitable wage and salary should be given to all the employees so that they can retain them for a longer time. It should be basis for establishing, developing, and maintaining good industrial relations. When proper wage and salary administration program is made by HR managers and all the hospital employees are happy with it, naturally it will lead to congenial atmosphere, and union is not going to fight every now and then for increase in the wage and salary of their employees, and hence the industrial relations will improve. It should be as a guide for administrative action for wages and salaries, and basis for facilitating control over expenditure on wages and salaries. Of course, as we know, in a hospital, the main expenses that are occurring are towards the wage and salaries of the employees of the hospital. And hence, if we want to control cost, if the amount of profit that the hospital is getting is not adequate, or if it's a charitable hospital, they have to survive and give more number of community patients good services, in that case cost containment, optimization of the cost is very essential, and hence the proper wage and salary administration program, if it is made based on the competencies of the employees so that they are happy with that kind of wage and salary, definitely will go in a long way towards facilitating control over expenditure on wage and salary and give better service to the community by these hospitals. Now, as far as the employees are concerned, what is the importance for them? They want that it should be a basis for understanding the hospital's policies concerning wage levels, structures, and ranges, that the hospital should have the right kind of policies for their wage and salary. It should clarify the opportunities for development, channels for promotion, so that the employees can be further promoted based on their merit. Greater job satisfaction they should get, and they should feel that they are secure, their employment is permanent, and they should be having the long-term benefits of gratuity, pension, and even the insurance, etc. And they should be able to achieve their objectives. Individual objectives also are important for them, apart from the organizational objectives, so they should be able to achieve their own objectives in the form of good package for themselves so that they can take care of their family in a better way and give good education for their children, and they can take care of their parents as well. Now, as far as the patients who are taking treatment from this hospital is concerned, how it is going to be beneficial by having the right kind of wage and salary administration program by HR managers for the hospital employees? Naturally, when the right kind of wage and salary administration program is made by the HR managers and the top management has agreed to that, naturally the hospital employees will be highly satisfied, and they are going to give the patients coming to them very good quality service, and hence it will lead to better service by hospital employees, and patients will be happy. It will lead to lower hospitalization cost from a higher degree of employee efficiency. When the employees are very efficient, naturally the patients' quality of service will improve, patients will become all right faster, and the payment they are supposed to pay to the hospital for the services will also go down, and hence even cost containment will occur for the patients as well. Now let's understand what are the various factors that's going to influence the determination of compensation to be given to the hospital employees. One is conditions of the labor market. If there is lot of supply and the demand is less, then naturally the labor class or the employees are ready to work at a lower salary also, because it is difficult for them to get a job. So it will depend on the condition of the labor market. When there is a recession, many of the employees are removed from the hospitals and then they are surplus outside waiting for next job to get, and in that case naturally they are ready to take the new job at a lower salary also. So condition of the labor market is an important factor that is going to influence the compensation and benefits they are going to get. Then comes area wage rates. What are the wage rates in that locality or the location, geographical location? So if the adjacent hospital or a hospital which is 15 minutes to 20 minutes away from your hospital is giving salary of 25,000 to an accountant, naturally anybody who is going to apply for your hospital is going to expect that around 25,000 he should get. But if it's in a remote place, say rural area, and if that hospital is giving around 20,000 as a salary to the accountant, then in the adjacent area naturally another person will be ready to work for 20,000 also. So it will, area wage rates also will determine the compensation to be given. Then comes cost of living index. As the inflation increases, it will be difficult for them to manage their financial requirements for their family, and hence people are going to ask for more salary, otherwise it will be difficult for them to manage their family expenses which are day to day requirement for them. So cost of living index also is going to determine the salary asked by the employees. Then collective bargaining. Many of the hospitals are now having unions which are affiliated to political parties, and these unions are quite strong. So when they go for collective bargaining once in 3 years, they are going to ask for higher and higher wages, perks, etc. for their employees. So those hospitals who are having unions, where periodically, say every 3 years, the collective bargaining is occurring, and that's how naturally these hospitals will have to pay more to their employees. So the compensation to be given to the employees will depend on the collective bargaining capability and the strength of the union of that hospital also. Then there are legal requirements, say payment of minimum wages act. So minimum that much wage the hospital will have to pay for a particular group of employee based on the legal requirement. Similarly, payment of bonus act, say 8.33% bonus has to be given for those employees who are having less than 10,000 salary per month as per the law. Then compensation policy of organization. What is the overall compensation policy of the organization determined by the HR manager and the top manager for that organization will determine overall how much compensation will be given. Of course, that will be dependent on the ability of the hospital to pay also. If it's a new hospital, lot of money has been invested in that, probably they may not be able to pay higher salaries because still the profits have not arrived for them. Then worth of a job. Whatever job you are doing, what is the worth of that, which is how much important it is for the hospital, that also will decide how much wage and salary that employee will get. Then employee's relative worth. Employee X compared to employee Y and Z, if they compare the job they are performing and in the achievement of the hospital's objective, if we feel that employee Y is more responsible for achieving the objectives as compared to X or Z, naturally the employee Y is likely to get more salary and perks. So employee's relative worth also will decide about compensation to be given, and of course hospital's ability to pay. As I told you, in case of recession, when less number of patients are going to come to the hospital because they cannot afford, they are likely to take home remedies more then naturally when the profitability of the hospital has gone down, overall there is recession in the market, the hospital's ability to pay also will decrease, and it's likely that it will freeze the recruitment, and if at all it takes, which is very essential, at that time the compensation offered to the employees will be comparatively less because they can't afford to pay more. Now let's understand what are the various steps in the process of job evaluation. Why job evaluation is necessary? Because to develop wage and salary administration program, one should know the relative worth of each job that is there in the hospital, and based on that one can decide how much valuable that job is and what is the relative worth of this job as compared to the other job, whereby when you are doing the job classification and there are various methods of job evaluation, so after that only you can decide based on that how much salary and perks should be given to that particular employee based on the worth of the job. So job evaluation is a very, very important process to be done to achieve at the right kind of wage and salary administration program. So let's understand some of the basic steps of process of job evaluation. Selection of representative committee should be made, where human resource manager, nursing director, head of the department or paramedical department, maintenance engineer and one medical personnel should be members of this representative committee. One can even keep one of the unions secretary or the higher authority in the union also as one of the member, so that after job evaluation is done they are not going to object too much about the way it was done and all that. Agreement on the objectives to be attained and jobs to be covered. So one should be having the agreement among all the members that this is what we want to achieve, the objectives, and based on that we are going to cover this number of jobs. So one should thoroughly do job analysis, exactly what is involved in doing a particular job. So that will tell us job description and job specification, and that will be very important thing for job evaluation. Comparison of one job with the others. Once we have done thoroughly job analysis, we will be able to compare one job with the other, how important it is, what the relative worth of this job as compared to the other. Then arrangement of these jobs can be made in a proper sequence based on their relative worth. And salary survey in the industry and the region one can do, so that more or less similar kind of salaries can be given after making the job classification. Then assignment of rates can be given to each job, and each job can be put into the classification that we have done. So let's understand the wage and salary administration program, which will be based on job evaluation. We'll be learning in detail about the various methods of job evaluation also. So first and foremost will be, while wage and salary administration program is made, one has to develop the fundamental policies of the organization, which is formulated by the HRM and approved by the top management of the hospital, that is hospital administrator or the medical director. One should build the wage and salary structure based on the type of jobs that are there. One should do the job assignments to these and develop compensation procedures, how compensation will be given, at what interval and all. Now let's understand how we are going to develop the fundamental policies of the hospitals, so that you can achieve later at the right kind of compensation program. The various factors to be taken into consideration while developing these policies will be existing labor legislation. Article 39 of Constitution talks about equal pay for equal work for both man and woman. So one has to take into consideration this article while formulating the HR policy for compensation, that one has to give meritoriously equal pay for equal kind of work when two people are doing the same work, whether it's a man or a woman, or between the two men, between the woman and man and woman also, then Article 43 of our Indian Constitution talks about a living wage and conditions of work to ensure that the decent standards of life, leisure, social and cultural opportunities are given to all the workers so that they can be happily working for the organization and taking care of their family very smoothly. Then the Minimum Wages Act 1948 state to regulate minimum wages for various kinds of jobs, and as per that law, you cannot have anybody getting compensation less than this minimum wage for that particular group of people that has been fixed by the government. And this minimum wage is revised every 5 years, because naturally the cost of living index is going to increase day by day. The Payment of Wages Act 1936 also is important while formulating the fundamental policy, because that talks about regular and prompt payment of wages, whereby it is going to prevent the exploitation by arbitrary fines and deductions from wages, which was very prevalent in earlier days, where the entrepreneurs in the factories and some of the service organizations used to exploit the employees, and they used to, for a minor kind of misconduct or minor kind of loss to the company because of some breakage of some article, they used to hugely fine that employee. And secondly, they were not given salaries at the regular interval of 1 month. At times for 2 to 3 months, no salary was given. So to prevent that, this Payment of Wages Act has been enacted, and we'll go into it into the detail while discussing about this. Some more factors if we see to develop fundamental policies are wages and salaries paid for similar work in the community. In the community, if similar work is being done by two or more people, they have to be paid in the similar way, so that it will lead to improvement in the efficiency and better quality of work will be given by the employees. They won't be disgruntled, they will get job satisfaction in a way. Regulations established by employees and their unions in the collective bargaining, they are going to establish certain regulations so that the management has to agree to that, and as per those regulations they have to give the compensation to the employees, and associations through negotiations they have to do that. The hospital's financial position also is going to decide how much salary can be given, and availability of qualified hospital personnel. So naturally, if certain hospital personnel are in scarcity, say nurses in India, because many of them are going to Middle East and America and New Zealand and Australia and all that, so naturally there is scarcity of qualified nurses here, and in that case naturally they are going to demand higher pay. One has to give them higher pay as compared to a similar kind of job but a different kind of skills required, slightly different kind of skills required for that because of the market conditions. Establishing the jobs to be performed. Now, building the wage and salary structure in a hospital, one has to think about establishing the jobs to be performed. That means what kind of jobs are to be performed for running this hospital to achieve the hospital objectives. One should get the clear idea. So one should find out what are the contents. So job analysis is important. What are the duties and responsibilities of the person who is going to do this particular job? At what level he is doing, so position of that, whether it is semi-skilled, unskilled, highly skilled, or a lot of supervision is required, lot of responsibilities and accountabilities are there, so his position. Contents of each position, at each position or each level, what all contents of the job are there. Positions having essentially the same content should be grouped together under the same job title so that they can be equally paid. Methods for collecting information can be by asking a person what all things he is doing throughout the day or throughout the week. It can be done by the immediate supervisor who is going to observe and tell us. Some subject matter expert can come and observe what all things are being done by that particular person. A review of payroll will also tell what all kinds of jobs we have got. Work questionnaire, by asking the questionnaire to the employees who are doing the job, we can find out, or taking interview of them, and even direct observation, as I told you, can give us the information required. Then one has to analyze each job to determine the standards of performance and the qualities which the person should possess. That means you have to list all the items regarding the job. First is job title, then the number of positions commonly carried on the payroll in each job classification, then the departments in which the positions in this job classification are found. So there can be multiple departments in which similar kind of skills are required, but the different type of job they are doing, but more or less all of them are diploma in that particular kind of skill or graduate in that particular kind of skill, so that can be classified among the same job position in a way. Then what kind of work is performed, whether he is supposed to get the work done from subordinates, that means he is having a supervisory duty as well or not. What is the level of efficiency required for doing that particular work? What is the number of hours a person is doing? Whether he is doing first, second, third shift, naturally those who are working in shift, you may have to pay them slightly higher. And what is the standard of performance expected out of this person? If high standard of performance is expected, because here we need a high quality work only, where little bit of mistake is also not allowed, say in case of sterilization for operation theater. In case of those people who are working in intensive cardiac care unit or intensive care unit of various specialties and super speciality. So here you can't go, little bit of error also is not going to be allowed, because it can lead to even death of a person. Death of the patient. So one has to give little extra to these people. Job combinations, when a person is doing multiple jobs at a time, so naturally he may be paid more. If the working conditions are adverse, well, he is going to work in high humidity or very much odorous, as in case of postmortem area, or where he is going to do work with some chemicals, where there can be some chemical hazards or radiation hazards and all, then working conditions, if there is lot of noise, then mechanical requirements, suppose a person is going to lift lot of weight and all, he has to transfer the patient from one area to the other, so lot of manual work he is doing, where a technique has to be used properly, otherwise the patient will get injured. And for certain kinds of work, there can be special performance demands which may be there on the employee to work, and that also is going to decide about how much salary should be given to that person. So building the wage and salary structure further, if we see, one has to evaluate the job to determine the relative value in relation to all other jobs performed in the hospital. So there are four common methods which have been used for job evaluation, and these four methods are ranking method, classification method, factor comparison method, and point systems. We are going to go into details about each method. So classifying the jobs into groups which possess similar characteristics, and that is going to establish wage levels for each of these groups. And this is how one can have the wage and salary structure to be built upon. So based on job evaluation, which is very essential, which will tell us that which are the similar kind of characteristics in a particular jobs that they are doing. So job classification will help us in that. So job evaluation systems, the scope of comparison for the different types of job evaluation systems are basis of comparison, where it is job versus job, and overall whole job qualitative, it will be job ranking. While if you are going to see quantitative aspect and compare the job factors, then it will be factor comparison. Job versus scale, you have decided certain scale for the jobs, then whole job when you are doing qualitatively, it will be job grade, and quantitatively job factors will be point system. So these are the four job evaluation methods, and this is the basis of all these four methods. So let's understand in detail what we mean by job ranking. As all of us have gone through schools, when the annual exam comes, when the results come, everybody is waiting for which rank I am getting, whether I am getting first rank or fifth rank or tenth rank, right? So similarly, in jobs also one can rank the job based on the relative worth of each job. But this is possible only with kind of smaller hospitals where number of jobs are comparatively less, than only you can rank them properly. So one has to think about the highest responsible and accountable job where you can give it the topmost rank, and then the lowest kind of work a person is doing, you can put it at the bottom most, and in between you can go on comparing the different types of jobs and then put them one by one, think about which is comparatively higher worth and which is comparatively lower worth. And this is how, say around 8 to 10 jobs, it will be easy for you to rank all the jobs. So a job evaluation method that sizes jobs on the basis of job titles and job contents by placing them in rank order, say from sweeper to chief executive officer of the hospital. It's comparatively quick, it is easy, it has been a well established method which has been used over the period of years together. But the people who are going to rank these jobs, naturally there can be a subjective bias.